Hi, we're here at Blakeney. There was so much interest in the kayaking at Blakeney podcast, we've decided to do another podcast focused on the seals of Blakeney, of course, interspersed with some water safety tips to help you enjoy seeing these magnificent large mammals a little bit more safely. So I'm Mandy, and I'm the water safety person for the RNLI for this area. I'm joined this morning by Sue, back by popular demand. Sue Gregory is a vet who's very interested in seals and is a marine mammal medic and volunteers for both the National Trust and the British Divers Marine Life Rescue, which is BDMLR. We're also joined by Mark Watson, who is an ecologist. He's been internationally published in scientific journals about seals, and he's also the countryside manager of the National Trust and is the lead of the team of the Blakeney Point Rangers, who are there to help protect the seals and the bird life on Blakeney Point. Away we go then. So we've got Mark and Sue here this morning on What's a Lovely Day, first one we've had in some time. So we're here to talk about seals and what they like and what they don't like and help explain a little bit about them. So Mark, maybe you want to kick us off with, you know, what sort of seals do we get around this area?
So there are two species, common seal and grey seal. And the common seal is a bit smaller and is pupping in the middle of the year, round about now. And the grey seal is pupping from sort of October through to January.
Oh, so it's quite actually a long period between the two different types of seal.
Yes. Yes, there are good biological reasons why they pup at those different times. But it provides some wildlife management challenges because, for example, there's a very large colony for grey seals breeding on Blakeney Point, and we protect the birds breeding there from approximately April through to September. So that's considered a sensitive time of high protection. But with the build-up of the seal colony, then we also require to protect them when they're there in this winter time, so it's extending the period at which the site is sensitive.
So in terms of the point and protecting the point for this extended period with the birds and the seals, can you chat to us a little bit about what that looks like and what you're doing?
So we have a team of wardens which we call rangers, which are there in the bird breeding season, and then we also have wardens and volunteers who help protect the seals from disturbance in the winter season from October to January. Our recommendation for people that would like to see them, and we really welcome people enjoying them and studying them and understanding, you know, how they live and what they do. The best way to see them and enjoy them at relatively close quarters is to go on one of the seal trips from Mawston, that helps support local businesses, and crucially it means that you're observing them when they're hauled out on the beach from the boat, which minimises disturbance. There's large sections of the point during the peak of the pupping time which are completely covered in females and their pups, so that covers the whole area really, even as far back as the watch house, so that's not very far from Clye Beach.
Gosh, that's a big area, isn't it?
We estimate that the total number is between 11 and 15,000 animals, and last year the recorded number of pups was 5,000, so if they each have one mum only, that's 10,000,
yeah,
as a minimum.
Gosh, that's a lot of mums with a lot of pups.
It is. One of the things to say from the point of view of interactions with humans is that Because the females have just given birth, they're very protective of their own youngsters, and this means that they can be aggressive to people or particularly dogs if they get too close. And they're protected by law, and I'm sure that no reasonable person would be wanting to disturb them, you know, intentionally.
Yeah.
So this is why we have restricted access during this time, and we encourage people to view them from a boat, not to try to walk down the point in order to see them from the land.
I suppose out in nature, seals are no different from any other animal. When you've got mums and youngsters, the mums are protected. That's their job, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Absolutely. And one of the things is that because they're breeding in this colonial system, any disturbance to one particular individual, they'll be reacting to, say, a person or their dog, and then there are interactions between the seals themselves, and the pups are vulnerable to aggression from other females and males as well. So,
what you mean if the pup gets separated from its mum?
They can get separated, or they can get too close to the other individuals, and they can be quite aggressive to each other as well as to intruders. So, again, having some understanding of this process should help us understand why it's important to keep a healthy distance.
So when you talk about disturbance, how do you know if you're actually disturbing a seal or a pup? You know, as just a member of the public?
Sue, would you like to?
Okay.
Yeah, Sue.
Well, I mean, the first thing is that they'll look at you. So if you have a seal that's sleeping and it looks at you, then you've disturbed it.
Okay, that's a good
and
tip
actually,
to start with.
Even though you might not necessarily think that's particularly sort of distressing, actually it's causing a wild animal to move, and that involves it using energy that it wouldn't necessarily have needed to have used.
I suppose it's not resting anymore, is it?
Yeah, it's not resting anymore. It's on alert. And, of course, if that happens repetitively over a day or over a few days, then that's going to use energy. And, you know, bearing in mind these animals, particularly when they have just had their pups, they're using a huge amount of energy. They've produced a pup. They're now producing really milk that's very high in fat content, and they lose weight really quickly. They're not feeding when they've got the pups. So actually, by wasting energy, you're putting them at a big disadvantage, because they can't go to Tesco, they can't open the fridge, they have to go and catch their fish to eat it.
Yeah.
And they're in competition with a lot of other seals.
And I suppose by that actual thing, you're then putting the pup at risk, because if its mum's tired, then it's not going to be producing good quality milk or whatever.
Yeah, and actually when animals are disturbed, they don't necessarily let their milk down either. So that's something that people perhaps might not be aware of. If you're stressed, you're not going to release the milk. So
it's
going to have a negative effect on the pup. But actually then there's other things that can happen. You can get stampeding in seals, so that they can, you know, if you've got a group of seals and one of them's disturbed and starts to move, then the others will follow it. And if they've got pups, that might mean pups get
squashed,
yeah, or bitten by another seal. Mm. The seals themselves can be injured if they're moving quickly over rough ground. I mean, on Blakeney Point, we don't have cliffs, but in areas where there are cliffs, you can get them tumbling off cliffs, and they can get fractures.
Yeah.
So it's not very pleasant at all.
Okay. So in terms of this area, you know, we get seals in quite a few different areas, but Blakeney Point is definitely a hot spot for the area. So what is it about Blakeney Point that is good for the seals, and what attracts them there to have their pups and whatnot?
I think that's a really good question, because if you consider the sand dune and beach and shingle structure, those conditions occur elsewhere along the coast, for example at Skolt Head, Thornham, Clye, Salthouse. So we have to you know, think, why is that place special, or why are they choosing it? And the bottom line is we don't know in detail, but they clearly require space, and they also like to do it in a colonial manner, so that's in the presence of other seals, because there's probably some collective benefit in terms of disturbance or protection from disturbance. The colony there has only formed since the early 90s, and so it's grown from literally seals producing 5 pups there in those years to the thousands that are produced there.
Gosh, that just shows you how quickly they can, if they find somewhere they like, how productive they can be.
Yes, and for example, that's now the largest colony in the British Isles. The previous largest one was at Donnanook, which is on the Lincolnshire coast, and then there were also a lot on the Farne Islands. But now this, with the build-up of numbers at Blakeney, it's got to be the biggest. And one of the things is that the population is recovering as a result of, they were heavily shot by fishing interests. So once they have been protected in the last couple of decades, numbers have really grown.
Mm.
And, you know, there's obviously lots of other places where they breed around the southern part of the North Sea.
Mm.
But, you know, currently we're hosting a lot in this area of North Norfolk. And who knows whether the colony will continue to expand, or whether it will move or dwindle, whether new colonies or breeding places will form, you know, further along the coast. And for example, we know that at Horsey and Winterton, these are also quite important areas for both species at particular times of year. So it's quite a dynamic situation.
Okay, so you're talking about moving. Those of us that go out in Blakeney Harbour area are well aware that the end of Blakeney Point is changed somewhat by the natural occurrence of coastal erosion, and that the end of the point where the seal colony used to be has been washed away, and the seals have actually moved location slightly. Can you tell us a little bit about the new location and how they're settling in there? And
from now, or even in the summer, there's always at least a few seals which are adults that are hauled out on the end of the point on the shingle, and their requirements to do that are simply that it needs to be out of the water, and they sometimes use the sandbanks on the other side of the channel as you're going back towards Wells. And when they're pupping, when the grey seals are giving birth, so many come that they're not confined to that area. They're literally spread out throughout every single dune, and the marram grass gets wholly flattened by just the sheer numbers that are moving across. And they, as I say, they extend eastwards all along the whole point, even as far as the Watch House, and, you know, really quite close to Clye Beach. So they take up a lot of space.
Wow.
And they like to lie either on the shingle or the sand or in the sand dunes, but they also, I've seen animals playing in some areas of the salt marsh. So they play in the pools on the top of the saltings. So again, they spread out on the saltings, which extend southwards from the shingle ridge as well.
Okay, that's interesting. One of the things that I want to raise from an RNLI and a water safety perspective is the seal colony has moved. The main part has moved slightly further around and is more on the north side of the of Blakeney Point. And actually going out there in a kayak or actually a boat without an engine is very hazardous. The turbulence in the tides and the creeks around there and the channels around there are actually very dangerous. So to reiterate the point about going to see the seals on a seal boat trip, I would absolutely advocate that from a water safety perspective. And obviously Mark's already suggested that there's much less seal disturbance doing it that way. So for me, that's a win-win, that we're keeping people safer and we're not disturbing the seals. So that's good.
Absolutely. Just so that there are risks in being in that intertidal water, relatively remote landscape, but there are also risks of getting too close to these, you know, very large animals, which are potentially dangerous at a sensitive time in their life cycle. So,
yes.
from a point of view of risk to humans and their dogs, what we're proposing is a way of interacting them, which minimises those risks. And so we hope that people will understand that and cooperate. And yeah. You know, we don't want anyone to get injured or any dogs to get injured. So keeping this respectful distance is part of what's sensible. Yeah.
So Sue, we're talking about these seals and disturbing the seals or trying not to disturb the seals. What do you do if you happen to be on a beach or around Blakeney Point or something, and you see a seal on its own, and you think it might be distressed or injured, or what should we do as members of the public?
Okay, well, I would say it's quite common, particularly at certain times of the year, to see seal pups, either juvenile, you know, so white coat pups, which were the grey pups in the winter, or sort of slightly larger pups on their own, and that's normal. It doesn't necessarily mean to say that they're in trouble. I think the first thing I would suggest people do, if they have a pair of binoculars, that's really great, is stay a distance away and have a good look at it with your binoculars. Can you see any signs of obvious injury? Don't get too close. If you've got any concerns at all, then I would advise that you contact the British Divers Marine Life Rescue, which is a charity that is involved with rescue but also assessment. And they have a network of volunteers. They're not just based in North Norfolk. They're actually countrywide. So if you're listening to this podcast from elsewhere in the country or you're visiting other areas of the country, then the advice is the same. Contact British Divers Marine Life Rescue.
Have you got a number for them or a website?
Which is 01-825-765-546. And what they will do is they will log the call. They will contact a volunteer, a marine mammal medic, and you have to be trained to call yourself a marine mammal medic. And then hopefully somebody will go out and assess the seal and make a decision about whether people need to be worried or not.
Okay.
The other organisation, particularly if it's injured, is to contact the RSPCA.
Okay.
And I've got a number for that.
Yes, give us the number. That would be great.
Is 03-100-1234-999. And that's for England and Wales.
Okay, that's great. So that's a really helpful thing if people see something.
Yeah.
Sue, is there anywhere a document of any sort that highlights, you know, what responsible wildlife viewing looks like? You know, what we should be doing as members of the public that are not as closely involved with seals and other wildlife as you and Mark?
Yes, there is. There was a really good guide that was published in May 2023 called the Marine and Coastal Wildlife Code Advice for Visitors. And this is a DEFRA, so Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs document, can be found on the gov.org website. But if you just Google Marine and Coastal Wildlife Code, you'll find it. And that's a really good document. It's a guide, so this is the government advice for how you should behave, and it covers a number of different things. So it covers how to be aware of how you might disturb wildlife, and it doesn't just cover seals, it also covers things like porpoises, sharks.
I don't want to be disturbing a shark.
Yes, recognise when you are disturbing marine wildlife,
yeah.
How to act responsibly around wildlife on the coast, If you're a water user, which of course many of us who might be listening to this podcast, which is hosted by the RNLI, probably are, but how to use boats, jet skis and other vessels, including kayaks, responsibly.
Yeah.
And how to enjoy being on the water in various craft without harming wildlife.
Yeah.
It also covers a bit of advice about how to plan your visit to the coast, wherever you might be. And Mark's mentioned that seals, as are dolphins and other species, they're protected in law. So what you might do if you feel there's a wildlife crime being committed by other people, other users of the coast. And also, there's a little bit about how to report an injured, distressed or dead animal. So it gives you the links through to the British Divers Marine Life Rescue. It also gives you the RSPCA number. But also it gives you links through to what to do if you find a dead seal, particularly a dead adult seal, because some of the listeners may well be aware that seals and porpoises have been affected by avian influenza. We've had a large outbreak. There are concerns about potential zoonotic diseases being affected by non-classic species.
So you don't want to be touching anything.
So you don't want to be touching them. And there is the government operates a surveillance scheme, which does require on people reporting dead birds, but also marine mammals as well.
Yeah. Okay. Lovely. So, have you got tips on watching seals or looking for seals or actually any wildlife?
My biggest tip is to bring some binoculars. If you want to take photographs, have a telephoto lens.
So you don't have to get close.
Yeah.
Good. So in terms of distance, that you'd really is a good distance for members of the public to keep from wildlife. What we're talking about?
I would say about 100 metres. It's difficult. Okay. I think as soon as they look at you, you need to back away because that's a sign of disturbance.
But as a place to start, 100 metres is the recommendation to start with. Okay. Mm. Okay, so binoculars and telephoto. Is there anything else that we want to highlight during this podcast?
So I think for people to have an awareness that they can, there are particular times when they're more likely to encounter them, but because of the way the populations are developing, we should be prepared to encounter them on the saltings, on the coast, and even as far back as, in some cases, right up to the coast road.
Wow.
So when people are exercising their dogs or just in these areas for whatever reason, they should be prepared to encounter seals, particularly around, so the common breeding time is about now, and then
now being July.
Yes, and the pups are small and growing for a couple of months after that, and then the same in the winter from October through to January. But again, the pups are born and then they're hanging around, and even once they've molted, juveniles are still hanging around and popping up in unusual places. So they're quite long periods. But to have that awareness, and it's very sensible to keep your dog under control at all times in most of these places, not least because there's other wildlife that can be disturbed. So that can avoid your dog having an encounter with something like a seal before you do, when you may already lose control of the situation.
So if you're in that sort of area in the time frame between, say, start of July through to, when would you say?
February.
Through to February.
Or longer.
If you're in that time period, really having your dog on a lead, if there's a possibility that, you may come across a stray seal, and if you happen to bump into a seal, we've already said, in an unexpected place, get your dog on a lead at the earliest opportunity and walk in the other direction would be the advice.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Yeah. That's very clear.
I think there's one other thing that I would highlight, that if you are concerned about a seal and you do ring one of the hotlines, so British Divers Marine Life Rescue or the RSPCA, it's really useful to have an accurate location for the seal. It can save the volunteers a lot of walking and also make things happen a bit more quickly. And the app that a lot of us use is What Three Words.
Brilliant. The emergency services are using that, so the lifeboats are using that. So I would say if you're in any danger in or near the water, What Three Words is a brilliant app to use. It gives very, very precise locations, and all of the emergency services now are very familiar with it. So brilliant tip there, Sue, about What Three Words. So get that downloaded so you're ready to go.
Thanks, Sue and Mark, for those really good insights into the seal colony at Blakeney Point. I'd just like to do a quick little recap on the key elements that we've talked about. So the first thing is the amazing win-win scenario with regards to using the seal boat trips from Mawston. From a water safety perspective, this is the safest way to see the seal colony, because of the turbulence in the water that we described during the podcast. And also it minimises the disturbance to the animals. Disturbing a seal can have long-term consequences on that seal and potentially the pup of the seal. Sue described that in detail, so I won't go back through that. To minimise the chances of disturbing the seal, take a pair of binoculars and or a telephoto lens so that you can keep a real good distance. Sue was recommending 100 metres to minimise the chances of disturbance. Seals are protected by the law, and Sue told us about the 2023 Marine and Coastal Wildlife Code, which is a government document that might be well worth having a look at. We also spoke about the fact that it is possible to encounter seals, especially young seals, between July through to as late as February, right up even to the coastal road in this area. So being incredibly careful and vigilant around those times, especially if you have a dog that is not on a lead. And also the really useful tip about What Three Words and using that to get a precise location if you are speaking to the emergency services or to the British Divers Marine Life Rescue, or anybody else for that matter, and you want to give a precise location. So that's it from us today. I hope that you've enjoyed this podcast as much as I've enjoyed making it and listening to Sue and Mark. Thanks, and we'll see you again for the next podcast. Bye.